From Puebla, in Austin, Texas, this is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name's Carl with my BFF, Keon. Keon, how was your week?
Hi, my week was good. Yep, things were happening. Many things. I just put a new piece of nicotine gum in. I'm ready to go.
Dang.
For this weekend. How about you, Carr?
You're ready to go, you said.
That's right.
Why do you say you're ready to go? Why'd you say you're ready to go?
What?
Why'd you say you're ready to go?
Because we're about to do a podcast. And so I wanted to indicate to both you and anyone who hasn't already stopped watching because of how poor this first segment went, that I'm ready for it. I'm prepared.
See, you're supposed to keep stalling until...
I'm not a professional podcaster, so I don't know how this works.
See how, like, I'm always, like, doing this in the beginning. And then you're supposed to keep stalling just long enough to when I look up and then I do this. And then you say, how's your week, Carr? And then I go, it's fantastic, Keon. We're doing all this amazing stuff this week. And then we talk.
I didn't realize Remember, this is a performance review.
That's how that goes.
This is a performance review for, for my boss.
That's funny. No, it's been good. Dude, I feel like I've been on a media blitz this week.
You've been on a what?
A media blitz this week.
A media what?
A media blitz.
Oh.
I was on Bitcoin News on Monday. I was on Green Candle on Monday. Then I was, we had an early days episode that got released. We'll talk about later. Then we just did a Lightning Lounge with Lightning Ventures. And then that just happened here on Friday. And what else happened? Where else?
Why are you on a media blitz? Are you promoting?
Because we're promoting Startup Day Yucatan. That's happening in the Merida.
Where is that?
That's in the Yucatan.
But where's the Yucatan? Like what part of Mexico?
It's in Mexico.
I know.
Apparently, it's like right next to the water.
Okay, but right Mexico is all next to water, except part that isn't.
Let's Google it. Let's see if we can find it.
The Yucatan is, I believe, eastern Mexico.
I think it's right here. Look.
Yeah. Okay.
There it goes. It's all this.
Yeah. So it's Cancun.
So we're over here, Austin. We're going to go right here.
You guys should have called it Startup Day Cancun.
Cancun?
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody would have showed up for that. They've been like, these guys just want to go party.
No, but that's exactly why people show. That's why people go to conferences. I don't know if you've been to them, but
no, it's a Startup Day Yucatan, and it's going to be in Merida, which is this one right here, and then we're going to go to the beach, Progreso. But yeah, it's going to take place here. There's going to be pyramids and stuff.
When is it? October. Well, it's coming up soon.
It's very soon. Yeah, me and Francisco are freaking out a little bit. Yeah, if you head over to, let me see if I can go there. You can go to. Startup, is it Startup Day? Yeah, it's Startup Day. If you go here to Startup Day into the this website, if you go here, boom, 40 days left.
Wow, that's so soon. How much are you charging people?
We're not charging that much, actually, compared to other conferences. We're not charging that much. So let me see. Yeah, it's $299 and then it's $199 if you're a local, so not that much.
Okay,
yeah, it's pretty good. I think it's pretty good. Look, we even have
I saw the video. Yeah,
look at that. It's right there.
It's pretty cool. What are you excited about? Like, what are you excited about with the conference? Like,
I'm excited because we got Francisco doing the keynote. We have Runster doing the closing presentation. That's gonna be awesome. We got Jippy with some announcement. Cascader. We're gonna have some more announcements. We got the Muzzman showing up. We got Topher Scott. We got T. We got Quentin there. We got so many people. Wesley. I mean, we're gonna be adding more. It's gonna be awesome.
Okay, you're still booking speakers.
We're still booking everything. We even have places that accept Bitcoin there too. Look at that.
Oh, cool. You guys did that? Do they?
I don't know if I can say this yet, but I think they're gonna be taking something related to something. that's getting announced there. I can't say.
That was completely unhelpful.
I can't announce it. I want to ruin somebody's announcement.
Surprised. Did you guys invite Max to speak? Like, oh, like a BC panel?
I didn't even think about that.
I don't know why you, why Francisco, I mean, wouldn't have. He's an investor.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe
he spent a lot of time in Mexico.
Look, we got Stacker News as a sponsor. Look at that.
Oh.
We got Report Indigo. They're a media. We got Bitcoin News, Bitcoin Beach. Yeah, look at that. Yopaki, Green Candle. It's the whole thing, Keon. You're invited, too, if you want to come speak. But I know you don't leave your office, so.
Oh, I mean, I don't know what's going on in October. Maybe I'll come. I told Francisco.
Oh, really?
We'll see. I don't know.
Dang, dude, that'd be awesome if you come.
Yeah, I have to kind of figure out my life, but yeah.
I mean, that might be, dude, that would be big if you come. I never invite you anymore because you're always like, eh.
I like getting invited. So if you don't mind me saying no to things, please invite me to things. I love saying no. I love being invited. And I love
Keon,
I don't like saying, I don't enjoy saying no.
I'm formally inviting you to come speak and present at the Yucatan.
I probably won't go, but thanks. we'll see. I wouldn't want to speak.
If you never see this crazy show before, called Stacker News Live. We cover the top front page of Bitcoin every week on Stacker.news. We got Wumble doing all the clips. He's going through our old clips because we're going to be doing a DVD release by TabConf. Is what we agreed on. We're going to do the first 100 episodes. It's going to be a DVD release. So he's going through all our old videos and he's clipping them and we're going to make a montage.
I mean, why don't we just go real, like, real odd and go like mini disc? We don't do a DVD, we do a mini disc.
He did ask me, he's like, are you sure you want to do a DVD release? And I was like, yeah, I think it's cool. We'll have a digital release, I'm sure too, but like, I don't know. I think a DVD release makes sense. And then, so. You're going to see some old clips show up. You'll see them. And then, yeah, check it out. Hit subscribe. Do all that kind of stuff.
How's our David Bailey podcast clip doing?
I invited him to the conference, by the way.
Oh, did he say? What did he say?
He never responded back.
Oh.
Hey, man, I kept my word.
Okay, well.
It's doing pretty good. Let's jump into the top five stories of the week. The number five top story of the week is home Bitcoin mining, the real solar boom and national security. This is from, what is that? Broccoli? Broccoli, 11 comments, 11,700 sets.
Keon, definitely not broccoli. You forget your glasses again?
Yeah.
It's too cool.
Is that what that says?
That's what that says. It's like a really poor spelling of too cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I don't know exactly who this was intended for. I think they mentioned me in another place where they were planning on sending it to friends, but it seemed like it was sort of like it concludes by saying that government should support Bitcoin mining by like having tax incentives such that we get more Bitcoin. They get more Bitcoin miners because it helps with decentralizing the grid and like building up a resilient energy grid, also helping with like green energy, basically like incentivize their citizens to kind of provide their own power for themselves.
Wait, say that again. You said government should tax Bitcoin miners?
No, should give Bitcoin miners tax incentives.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they do that in Texas, don't they?
I actually don't know, but that's kind of how this concludes. But a lot of it before is talking about the diversity of like energy sources that Bitcoin miners use and how it is often a very like a green seeking power consumer and how Bitcoin miners are an alternative to batteries and how bad batteries are for the environment. Comes at it from like sort of a energy resilience perspective and a environmental perspective. And then, you know, I didn't even consider that if I were like a small country or even a state that I might have like self-interest in convincing my citizenry to Bitcoin mine more. That it might serve me as a politician or
a person who cares about my country or state to mine more. And I thought it was a pretty well laid out argument, and it has lots of citations so that, you know, they're just not just making stuff up. Seemed like they were prepared to like really share this with maybe a local council person or something.
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome. This is actually, I don't want to dox the person, but this is a stacker who we've covered, who writes on Stacker News occasionally.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds great. What the top comments say? We got from Hasher Stacker said, solo miner found a block. Better check if it was my bit axe. Cool. I really got nothing to say.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Check it out, Stackers, if you want to know more information about home Bitcoin mining, the real solar boom, and national security. Yeah. Also, I ran into Parker this afternoon. He's doing a Bitcoin mining podcast. So definitely check that out.
Oh, he started one, or he's
been doing one, and
oh,
he was telling me about it today. So
what's it called?
Parker Lewis Bitcoin Mining Podcast, I think.
Really? That's like what you'd name it if you were
just check it out. It's on TFTC.
Naming
network.
It on a show like this.
I mean, it's Parker Lewis of Bitcoin Mining. He knows it really well, so just check it out. It's on TFTC. So.
Oh, okay. So it's like
maybe Scoresby can drop it.
Does TFTC turn it into a production company like that? Like a podcast network type?
I don't know, but if it's Parker talking about mining, it's going to be good. So.
Yeah, I like listening to Parker.
But check it out. If you're interested in all that stuff. The
kind of like a sailor where I feel like he's easy listening, you know?
Definitely. The next top story is, do you see this in your country? Grocery stores price items to confuse shoppers. This is Signal 312, 27 comments, 1752 sats.
We just lost the two remaining listeners that we have.
Why is there so much ground beef?
I don't think that's what this post is about. This post is about how
a lot of ground beef, dude.
It is a lot of ground
beef. Look, Ted, look at this ground beef, dude. Why is there so much ground beef? Oh, damn. Dang, that's a lot of ground. There's a lot of ground beef. Oh, is that what that says? Bitcoiners. What does Molita mean?
Oh, no.
Ground beef catchers. Undisciplined. If you're listening to this, what does Molita mean? Gardening, that means meat. Molita. Oh, maybe that's ground.
That makes sense.
Meat grounded.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Are you done?
What do you mean?
I don't know what you're doing.
With the show?
Are
you not entertained? I'm just kidding. Dude, $42 for a 10-pound ground beef? I'm not paying those prices. All right, go for it, Keon. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So Signal 312, I guess, went into their local Walmart and noticed that.
This is Walmart.
This is at Walmart. This is why you have quantities. Shame. Like this. Have you never bought a round of beef?
I would never buy ground beef from Walmart. Shame.
Where do you buy ground beef from?
I wouldn't buy from Walmart.
Oh.
Would you?
Yeah, why not?
Ted, would you buy a ground beef from Walmart?
What's wrong with Walmart's ground beef?
Everything. Jump on the mic, Ted. Jump on the mic, please. Thank you.
I'll just talk about steak in general, which is I used to get steak from Walmart, mm-hmm. Sam and everything else. And then I went to the other store. Now they're very biased because this is a butcher who, yeah. like they're trying to sell me a more expensive cut of steak. Mm-hmm. So, considering that, he said basically everything that you would not want to eat, like all the bad things you've heard about factory farming,
is delivered to Walmart.
Like Walmart is the worst of the worst in terms of most mass production, eating corn instead of grass that screws up the digestive system. It's coming from overseas. It's coming from Brazil and other places versus locally. And they're all doing this for economies of scale and everything else. So
it's the worst of the worst.
It's the worst of the worst. Exactly.
Yeah, but not necessarily the worst of the worst in terms of your health, unless you believe that factory farming equates to poor health for you.
Well, I believe that their cost, they're trying to optimize for cost.
Yes.
So
which is dangerous.
Kind of believe that probably is like, I just sort of believe that that's not always in line with, you know, what's most healthy. When it comes to things like corn, like I don't really mind GMO because it's bigger. And like, I don't think that it's always at odds, but it seems to me like it can't always be aligned, the cost optimization and the health optimization.
Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. Incentives might be especially misaligned somewhere like Walmart. And that's the basis of making that decision rather than you once found a children's shoe in a thing of ground beef you got from Walmart.
No, but one time I bit into a burger and there was a sharp metal screw in my burger.
I believe it.
Yeah, I bit into it.
I believe it.
I was fine.
What do you think about HEB? Because you haven't been here that long in Texas.
We have them in Colorado.
Oh, you do? Yep. What do you think about HEB?
Great.
No, I think HEB is great. I think their food is great.
But I don't really know. You know, you just go in, you kind of trust. This is the problem with all the institutions breaking down, is that we're like losing our ability to trust that if I go into the store and has XYZ certification, well, now I'm like, those are all bullshit. They're probably, it's probably even worse just because it has the certification. Well,
from what Johnny tells me that HEB is legit. From what Johnny tells me.
I trust Johnny.
Yeah, I trust Johnny too. I'd rather buy it from Johnny's shop though, from what he tells me. So
it'd be nice if us as consumers didn't have to go through all this work to like verify, like I can't be a food expert and also a self-defense expert and also a, you know, legal expert. I can't be all these things.
Right? We kind of have to because of the boomers.
Oh, it's the boomers?
I mean, is it not the boomers' fault?
It's ever. I mean.
I mean, tell it. Natural. Tell it, Ted. I mean, tell it. Tell it, Ted.
I wouldn't blame it on the boomers.
I mean, who else fault natural. Is it? Who else fault is it?
I think it's part. It's just a natural, like emergent complexity or emergent thing that happens in societies that they rise and they become more complex and then they kind of simplify. When they're more complex, you can rely on the institutions, and then on the opposite, you become more automatized. You take more responsibility on yourself. So it's not really. I think the boomers kind of rode that last tail end.
Yeah, they benefited. Like, yeah.
I don't think they rode it. They're still on it.
Yeah, they're up there, but they're kind of like, they're over the cliff and still running like that.
No, they're not getting off that cliff. They're well positioned to stay on that cliff.
Well, yeah, but Bitcoin just deleted the ground.
Well, we'll see.
I think they're coming down.
Are they?
I mean, Jimmy seems to think that the dollar is going to stay around. I don't think the dollar is going to last. I think all that stuff is going to come down. And
you think the dollar will stay around?
I think stable coins, save it. Okay.
Strong dollar, strong boomer. That's what we're thinking.
At least in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
Right.
Strong boomer, strong dollar. Okay, so maybe strong dollar, strong boomer, strong Bitcoin, strong lower generation class.
Strong money, strong men, strong society, or strong men to topple society.
Yeah, sounds good to me. All right, what's this post about, Kian?
Jesus. I feel like I'm in like, I don't know, like a car daydream right now, where it's just like we're going from one thing to another.
Got to keep the show interesting.
Oh, yeah. So Signal 312 goes to their local Walmart and looks at the ground beef and is sort of upset by how the unit price differing between like a higher quantity roll of ground beef versus a lower quantity roll of ground beef doesn't match. And so on the lower quantity roll of ground beef, the five pounds, they see $4.99 per pound. But when they go to the 10-pound roll, it's the unit price is in ounces for some reason, which is not helpful to anyone. You would think that if Walmart cared about informing you about prices, they would try to communicate to you in the most effective way, which in this case is probably the per pound price. That's the price that I personally remember when I'm trying to buy meat for cheap, is like, how is this fluctuating over time? Is it on sale? Whatever. So for some reason, they're like obscuring it, the price of the 10-pound roll with the per ounce price, which might be just like a programmatic thing that they're messing up, or they're trying to figure something out. But they say they see that over and over again.
At their, they're doing two different things?
Or yeah. Where there's just like, for whatever reason, the unit price is messed up or like not confusing, or at the very, it's like not even consistent. You'd expect it to be consistent. So there's something that's causing them to be inconsistent. And maybe Walmart has some logic where it's like, if something is priced over this, you price it per the smaller unit, or if it, I don't know. I don't know what the reason behind it, but they say it also occurs in eggs. If you go to eggs, you'll pay, sometimes see the unit price is per egg, and then sometimes it's per dozen. But they kind of hint at,
maybe it's the wholesale price. Maybe that's because it's based on their pallet. Maybe like how much they're buying it for.
Yeah, maybe if you have a very large quantity item, like a 10-pound roll, they think that people want to see the per ounce, and that's like,
well, maybe it's based off of what their unit cost is, maybe in their system.
Maybe that's how they think of it. Maybe for the 5-pound roll, they pay something that isn't per ounce.
Yeah, maybe they're paying. I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing.
That's a fair estimation.
Maybe they're just passing on the same unit price that they're paying per pound. I don't know.
No, that's a good, that could be it. I suspect there's something like that where I don't see a reason why they do this intentionally. But
yeah, I don't think they're like trying to be nefarious or anything. They're too busy for that.
Yeah, I don't even. I mean, it could be something. It's definitely confusing. Even on Amazon, when I buy stuff, I get kind of upset.
Yeah, I definitely think they're just too busy for that. I think it's more has to do with like just their ordering system.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's all just automated.
So Signal asks other stackers if they see this themselves.
Yeah, what do they say?
Yes, some people do see it, mostly because of like difference between American units and European ones, and then. Optimism says that when they were in Europe, it's a lot easier because everything is just base 10, which is nice. I always forget how many ounces there are in a pound, for instance.
I mean, I know like at HEB, you can literally just go up to the meat department and just ask them. I've done that before, like at the deli. We're all asking between the prices after I taste the meat. That's why I love HEB.
Oh, they let you taste meat?
Yeah, dude. You never do that?
Can you take them?
Do you go to HEB or which one do you go to? You go to Central. You look like a Whole Foods dude. You go to Whole Foods, don't you?
I think I'm closest to Whole Foods, but I have gone to HEB.
Yeah, I like going to HEB because like you can talk to people and like taste the food.
You can taste a ribeye though. You can take a
ribeye. No, but like you can go to like the deli section, like when you're buying like deli and cheese and stuff, and then you can taste the meat, and then you can ask them about the prices and stuff.
HEB's beef though, I find not great relative.
Oh, you mean like the actual? Oh, you mean like the raw meat and stuff?
Yeah, if I'm buying raw meat, which is usually the main thing I go to the grocery store
for. I mean, I mainly do tacos anyway, so I usually just use it. I don't really make steaks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but what do you put in your tacos?
I'm more of a taco guy.
Yeah, but what do you put in? You have meat in your tacos, right?
Yeah, I use beef stew meat for tacos.
Oh, okay. You stew yourself or you?
No. There's this thing called like beef stew meat, and that's what I use for tacos. And then I just like dice it up, and then that's what I use for tacos.
Oh, you can buy it from them already cooked, and you buy.
No, it's called like you go to HEB. It's called beef stew meat,
and it's raw. So you
cook raw.
So you cook
it, and then I dice it up even more to like make some really good tacos.
Okay, so you're buying like a chuck roast, which is cut up into beef stew cubes, or.
No, it's like on the package. It says like beef stew meat.
I know, but that cut of beef that they're turning into beef stew meat is usually like a.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it has like a. It's a particular part of the cow that has a name.
Okay.
Oftentimes it's. It's like a chuck roast or it's some other kind of roast, like a London broil. Yeah. Usually leaner meat. Anyway.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Usually do that, or I get some like chicken, dice it up.
Okay, well...
Getting hungry just thinking about it.
Good stuff.
What's this? What does this mean?
I don't know, but it looks like Arnold.
Is that Arnold Schwarzenegger?
It is.
Wow, I never saw him with that haircut. Is this Running Man Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I don't know. It's definitely a younger Arnold than today, for sure. Anyways.
Yeah. Good post. Got me thinking. The next one is Tether Fun Unbelievable Details Part 3. Dress? Yeah, dress. This is from Scoresby, 14 comments, 12,000 sats. What's this, Cam?
Yeah, so Scoresby is doing the series on Tether.
kind of covering them from their inception all the way until this most recent post, which ends roughly, I think, around 2021. But this is like roughly the period from 2016 to, I think, late 2020, early 2021. A lot of this period of time is like the last bull market, and the bull market before last, like the 2017 run up. A lot of it is dedicated to a chapter in Tether's history where they are struggling to find banking partners, and in this case, they end up using one banking partner that has like a bunch of sub entities, but mostly goes by Crypto Capital Corporation. And it turns, long story short, Crypto Capital Corporation is sort of a fraud. Tether doesn't have any contracts with them, but they are banking through them, like giving them their customers fiat. Tether and Bitfinex are banking through them and giving them their customers fiat, expecting to be able to, their customers to be able to take out withdrawals and put in deposits to get Tether and exchange money in and out. Eventually, what ends up happening is the Crypto Capital Corporation, they end up getting their assets frozen, I believe, first in Portugal, but then in a bunch of other countries where they also stored money. Under different entity names. And then Tether tries to get their money back, struggles to get their money back, doesn't really. It turns out that the people that they were banking with were not honest and ended up stealing a lot of it. One of the main characters ended up getting, I think it in Poland, ended up getting imprisoned for basically stealing like $800 million from Bitfinex and Tether. I don't know what ended up happening to the money, if they got it back or whatever. Anyway, this is all the detail of that if you're into those kinds of things. But apparently during this period of time, it was very hard for crypto companies to have any kind of legitimate bank account. And so it sounds like what a lot of them did was outsource to entities like this. So most of us have heard of Brock Pierce. And he was, I think, somewhat of a banking partner involved in Tether around this period of time, although it doesn't seem to have gotten caught up in this kind of stuff. But if you were Tether during this period of time or any sort of exchange, you probably had trouble getting U.S. bank accounts. And so you'd end up sort of outsourcing to like a payment processor like entity, like Crypto Capital Corporation. And they would set up... They would create companies in other countries or states and then create bank accounts and then would sort of abstract that into being your payment processor. And so if any one of those kind of banks got shut or those accounts got shut down, they could still process your payments. That's what it roughly sounds like, is like there is some like shell game going on to kind of hide that an exchange was using U.S. bank accounts. And then eventually those countries or the United States get wise to basically being a Tether bank account, and they freeze funds or shut them down or whatever. And that's this kind of saga. But you can see like the juxtaposition between Tether informing their customers that they have all the funds, they're all there, they're backed, they're fully secured. And, transcripts that have been released of Tether and Bitfinex executives asking Crypto Capital Corporation that they for their money back because they really need it because they can't get money to their customers. It seems like there was a bit of a crunch on Tether and Bitfinex during this period of time, where it seemed like they, as a result of this banking freezing failure type of thing, this robbery, that they might have gone out of business, but they somehow recovered from it. And part of that was, I think, Tether loaned Bitfinex money. Yeah,
Tether made a loan, like a $700 million loan to Bitfinex. You know, whether those tethers were printed being backed by something is, you know, not something I think anyone definitively knows, although, you know, Fudsters would say that it wasn't one, those tethers weren't backed. Anyway, there's a bunch of detail in here that I'm struggling to cover. But Scoresby did a great job of covering it all. I'm looking forward to like where we, like as we get closer to the modern day. But I did miss a lot of the detail.
We're not here. Even to the modern day yet?
No.
Wow.
Well, I mean, this is like a decade. Tether's been around for over a decade. So roughly exactly a decade. But it looks like it was, you know, a hard, if we consider Tether as winning today and being free and clear, it was a hard fought win.
What would you say you've like learned from all this? Just like reading through, because you've probably read all this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did you say? What would you say you've learned reading through all this? Because I haven't read this one. I read the first one really thoroughly, and it read like a novel.
Yeah.
I read the second one a little bit, and then it was just like, yeah, it was like The Creature from Jekyll Island. I didn't read this one at all because I was just like, okay, I can't do this anymore. My cup is full on this kind of stuff. After a while, the darkness just gets too overwhelming for me, and I need light.
I see.
Yeah, because I'm, yeah.
Yeah.
My cup is full. But like, for you, you like this kind of stuff because you're. Because
my cup is empty.
No, it's just like you're the type of person that can go in that and like can come out the other side and still be like, oh, hey, Carr, what's going on? like nothing.
I didn't see this as that. I didn't even see this as that dark. It did read like a thriller, like a con man kind of thriller, because especially on the part of their banking partners who were like lying to them about what was going on. My general takeaway from all three parts so far is mostly how hard it is to be a Bitcoin company innovating. So it's really, you know, if you're a Bitcoin company that's just doing what everyone else has done and just like fought and like a tether of the world has already laid out the pathway for you to getting there, it's pretty easy. But if you're the first stable coin, these are the details of how much crap you have to go through. And, you know, it seems like possibly even Tether wasn't being honest at points. Like that's how hard it was for them, is that they maybe had to end up sort of fudging or misleading, misrepresenting things. I don't know exactly. No one really knows, but
like, I guess the question I have for you then, like, but why would you do that for fiat though?
For fiat? Mm-hmm. What do you mean for fiat?
Cause you just said it right now. Like you're trying to be the first stable coin.
Yeah. I sense that they thought it was good for, I think they have there's a lot of in here. There's a lot of conversations with Giancarlo, who transcripts from conversations with him. He's talking about the effect that Tether having problems or Bitfinex having problems will have on the entire crypto industry. So I think their Tether's view is that they are assisting the like whole crypto economy. Like they are kind of they are a key player propping it up, helping it move along. I think, and that it shows in a lot of their actions, how supportive they seem to generally be of, you know, the broader ecosystem, especially Bitcoin stuff and other privacy stuff. Is like, they're almost like siphoning money out of the fiat system and trying to put in like, I don't, either they're like guilt washing the profits back into Bitcoin, or it's just like a side effect or like a hobby. I don't know.
So, I mean, is it fair to say that they wanted to be the money printer for the crypto industry?
I think they just saw an opportunity for like a problem that a lot of their customers had, where they couldn't get access to US dollars, but wanted them. And they found a way that they could provide them to those customers, and then they ran with it, and it just kind of you know, snowballed into being what it is. It's just like the product market fit was insane and they just kind of followed it along. They went along for the ride.
Yeah. So it just kind of goes back to my original, when we covered this the first time, was just like, it feels like a modern day era Federal Reserve, like a version of it, I guess, like a new version of the Federal Reserve.
It's more to me, the Federal Reserve is like too, there's too many layers there. It's more like a JP Morgan-y type of story, like, you know, a private bank, a massive private bank emerging in the modern era, facilitated
around crypto and Bitcoin,
facilitated by new technologies that the old banking system would not adopt. That's kind of what it seems like.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, they're definitely going to write a...
They're definitely going to what?
They're definitely going to make a Netflix movie out of this. They're going to come to Snacker News and they're going to interview Scoresby.
I'm sad there's no one has been sharing any of this stuff.
Maybe. Oh, dude, they can't, dude. Like, I bet you, I don't know if you still run analytics on Snacker News or whatever, and you could see how many views this particular post has gotten, but I would imagine it's probably gotten a lot of views.
No, we've been watching it. They haven't been, that's the thing is like, stackers have been looking at them a lot, but we haven't seen them get shared very widely.
Yeah, because this is the thing that you're not supposed to talk about, Keanu.
I think maybe it's just like the information is too intense and it is sort of hard to look at. It's like looking in the mirror and you realize you've gained a lot of weight or something.
You're not supposed to talk about this. This is the stuff that, like, in the Bitcoin space, you're not supposed to talk about like a few things, and this is one of them. It's like the you can talk about it at meetups. It's really the thing that you're supposed to be like, it's like, you know, you have a family and you know, you have those deep, dark secrets in your family. And it's the stuff that maybe you and your sister talk about, but you don't talk about it with the rest of your family. Or maybe you and your younger brother talk about, but you don't talk about, you know what I mean? It's like kind of one of those things where like, you don't talk about it with the rest of your family. You talk about it with maybe like a couple of your siblings. It's like one of those things. It's like, you don't talk about it with the whole
family. Why wouldn't you? Why don't you talk about it?
It's like one of those, it's like one of those like family secrets.
No, but I get it. But like in this, I'm getting more back to more of the concrete thing of Tether. Why wouldn't I tell this to another Bitcoiner? Like, what's the reason for the person who doesn't want to tell this to another Bitcoiner?
I think it's just kind of what we just talked about earlier. Like, it's like, what kind of like what you said, it's one of those things that's a very kind of, you know, it drums up a lot of possibly finger pointing things. There's just a lot of things there that could, you know, possibly get certain people in a lot of, I don't want to say these words because I don't want to be that guy that people are like, oh, did you hear what Carr said on Snacker News Live? Can you believe he said that? I don't want to be that guy, Keon. Quit making me be that guy. I don't want to be that guy.
Oh, so you're the guy who's not talking about it now.
No, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy that says, can you believe Carr said that on Stacker News Live about that? Because I don't want to be that guy. Like, let the thing speak for itself. But this is why people don't talk about this stuff, is because you're not supposed to talk about it.
You're not supposed to give Bitcoin negative press.
You're not supposed to talk about this stuff.
You're not supposed to give the ecosystem.
You can talk about it if you want to go on the record talking about this stuff. But
well, I've already been talking about it. I just don't even understand this.
No, I'm getting upset because like you're trying to get me to say something that's salacious. And I'm telling you, like, I don't want to talk about it because this is the stuff that you're not supposed to talk about. I'm kind of giving you like a thing that's very similar in a family. Like when you're in a family, there's certain things that you're not supposed to talk about because it's like a deep family secret. Do you know what that is?
Of course.
Okay. This is one of those things in Bitcoin you're not supposed to talk about.
Yeah, but I just don't understand. Like in a family, you don't talk about those things because you don't want to like maybe hurt someone's feelings, or you don't want to.
But we're live. We're live to the internet.
So I'm just wondering if it's like
we're live to the internet broadcasting to everybody at home, Keon. Like, you wouldn't disclose that to your entire family. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like, by us talking about this is also that too. Like, this is one of those things where you don't want to talk about these things. And I don't want to go on the record saying things that are going to get me or Pleb Lab in trouble. So you can talk about it. wearing a Stacker News hat
you're,
and say
you're
these
repeating
things.
Yourself. And
okay.
I'm trying to make a.
Go ahead.
I'm
go
trying
ahead.
To say something. So I'm just trying to. So you don't have to say anything. I'm not asking you to say anything. I'm just trying to understand something. So is this? So we have the analogy of the family, and the family has secrets, and only some of the family members know them and talk about them. And so they know them and they only know them and talk about them because they don't want to hurt someone's feelings, maybe, or they don't want. They know some of those family members have like loose lips and that other people hear about what's going on in their family. And they don't want other people to hear about what's going on in their family. But there are like many reasons why a family might keep a secret like that. And it might be sort of self-contained in a small group. I'm just wondering like what the reasoning here would be with regard to Tether. Because as far as I can tell, there's nothing like that here that is that bad. All of it is like, this is all public information. And I don't see who this does harm to. Like this is a story of Tether kind of taking on a very hard path and succeeding and maybe making some sacrifices along the way and doing some things that are sort of, illicit. I guess, or dishonest. I don't really know. No one knows, but like that's it at worst, but they're well beyond that. It's like, they've kind of time served. I don't know what would happen if it doesn't seem like anything bad would happen to this being out there now. That's kind of my point. It's like, I don't get it. Why wouldn't we talk about it other than it's like maybe boring and like maybe is bad for Bitcoin's price. Like those are the only reasons why I can see why people wouldn't talk about it.
Well, you asked me like, why is it being shared? And I just told you why it's not being shared.
I know, but I'm trying to understand the why behind that. Why? Like, it's not enough for me to say that when you say like, people don't want to talk about it, it's like, why don't they want to talk about it? That's my.
Yeah. And I'm not going to give you that salacious like reason. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Yeah. I think I get what you're getting.
Yeah, because I could give you that, but I'm not going to give you that today.
I see. Because I know. I think there are. I think I've heard.
I could say that. I could say these things, but I'm not. I'm not going to do that because it's just like it's not worth it. It's like let somebody else say it.
Yeah, I think. I think
I already got in enough trouble this summer.
There are people in the
more trouble.
There are people in the lab who are a little more conspiracy minded, and they think that like that what happens when you talk about Tether like this is they. Is like Tether's like a like connected and does like nefarious things like murder their critics and people who talk about these things are putting themselves at physical risk.
Right,
I don't know.
Are you ready?
I just
go to the next topic.
I just don't know if I buy it.
You give me a topic. Next one.
They don't seem like that. Yeah.
Okay. The next one is I tipped a magician in Bitcoin. This is from Kepford. 21 comments, 1725 sats. Keon, what's this? It's magic.
Yeah. So Kepford went to San Francisco. And I guess they were on Pier 39, which I believe is Fisherman's Wharf. I actually might be getting that wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's like the touristy. It's a tourist place you go. It's like the first time you go
been
to
there before.
Yeah. Anyone who's been to San good. Francisco likely. Went to Pier 39 Fisherman's.
Some of the nicest people are over there, the workers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that definitely probably make a great living on the pier there. Yeah, you can see seals.
Mm-hmm.
And
they have good seafood there too.
Yeah, everyone tells you to have
you see food and you eat it.
Clam chowder in a bread bowl. That's kind of your.
They have like oysters. Yeah.
The wax museum is near there.
Never been to that.
Yeah, it's nice and creepy. Exactly how you'd expect it.
Yeah, I remember fishing. It's a very cool place.
Anyway, he was there, and there was a street performer doing magic, and I guess they do like a full magic show, is what it sounds like, and they do it for free on spec. Like they just do the show, and then they ask you for. Donations after the fact. And I guess this musician was willing to accept Bitcoin because Kepford said once he finished, he said he accepts cash app, Venmo and Bitcoin. And I guess he was he repeated Bitcoin several times, like as if he preferred it as the means of payment. And so Kepford,
he would like to get one Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Hell yeah. That's what you should do.
So do we all.
21. Get 21 Bitcoin. Don't just score for one. Get 21.
It's a lot of Bitcoin.
You can get there.
Anyway, so Kupferd tipped him in Bitcoin. I was kind of curious whether he was using Lightning or what he was using. Turns out it was on chain. I think Kupferd said it looked like he was using Green Wallet, which I don't know what Green Wallet is. Not familiar. It sounds like Blue Wallet, but it's not. It's green. And blue and green are different things. So I'm pretty sure it's a different kind of wallet. But Kupferd said, yeah, I sent him on-chain Bitcoin. And pretty cool. I hope he's reusing addresses. I hope he's protecting his privacy like a good magician.
That's cool.
But yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people here in Austin that take Bitcoin, like all the pedicab drivers, random people that you run to. Even some of the Uber drivers do take Bitcoin if you ask them. Because I think most of the Cash Apps and I think all the Venmo and even PayPal has Bitcoin now. Like it rolled out Bitcoin. So that's cool. Good stuff, man. Love to see it. Yeah. Have you ever tipped it? When was the last time you tipped somebody in Bitcoin?
I don't think, I mean, I zap people Bitcoin on Stacker News, obviously, but
like
all the time.
Recently, like.
But like a real, like a flesh and
blood. What about the guy who delivers the kombucha to you? Do you ever tip him in Bitcoin?
No, I don't tip
him. You don't tip him?
I don't.
Jeez.
Well, he like works for a company that does delivery. Hey, it's man. Like, yeah.
He walks up.
Yeah.
Flights of stairs.
I don't think so. I don't think I've done this. Maybe at a bar, maybe back in like 2021.
That was the last time you tipped somebody Bitcoin?
Like a human being in person who wasn't a Bitcoiner? Yeah. Probably.
I think I try all the time downstairs at the Capital One, but they always say no.
Hmm. So. Yeah. I think it only took me two failures where last time I really tried was when I was in Miami for the Bitcoin conference there. And I tried tipping the bellhop in Bitcoin. I asked him if he'd accept Bitcoin. And he's like, I'm an old man. I don't know that stuff.
Yeah. Somebody came into Plub Lab and they were selling something with those pins. And then I bought it. So I don't know if that counts, but that was the last time.
No, that's not. They come in here and they're selling.
Well, that's kind of close. I feel like it's close.
I don't know. I don't consider spending Bitcoin. I think we're talking about like someone who
was the last time you spent. When's the last time you spent Bitcoin?
I spent it right before this podcast. I spent it all day long.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. The number one story of the week is, wow, Luke is wrong. Data carrier size was about op returns since Bitcoin Core version 0.10.0. This is 9,711 sats, 10K boost, 18 comments from Peter Todd. Dude, Peter Todd's dropping boosts to get a point across? Is this true, Keon? What's going on here?
Yeah, I think he did. I don't know if it's...
He got the number one story of the week. Across.
Yeah,
I don't think... Is Luke actually wrong?
I think he is wrong about the historical meaning of data carrier and data carrier size. If Luke ever said that the intent behind these was to stop, had nothing to do with op return and had to do with general data, I think Peter Todd is right in that they do appear to be specifically scoped to op return. And so that's kind of what Peter Todd lays out here is that he viewed some release notes from 2015 and found explicit references to data carrier, whether you're going to allow op returns or not. That is the configuration parameter there. And then the size that you will allow if you are allowing data carrier transactions. So
for the plebs at home and the stackers that are listening to this, what are these two very smart men battling about?
Yeah. On-chain data that is indirectly related to Bitcoin as money use cases.
Is this an argument that has been going on since 2015?
This is an argument probably going on since the very beginnings of Bitcoin. Peter Todd points out people sharing, putting data into blocks and people probably complaining about it back, you know, back in the first few blocks.
And then Peter Tutt saying, no, bro, it's been, or yeah, what is the back and forth, I guess?
The context of all of this is the like knots versus core debate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's,
and which, who's on whose side? Just so.
Yeah. So Luke is on the knots side, which okay. which says that we should be doing everything to deter non-financial transactions on Bitcoin.
That gotcha.
That is like he, okay. and he, which things that he class that him and a lot of people classify as spam. Most Bitcoiners would classify as spam. He says that we should be doing everything we can to not relay these transactions to miners, to get them to miners. And that's what is Knot's Bitcoin Core fork does, is it does not relay these data containing non-financial transactions that they call spam and attack on Bitcoin, that kind of thing. And Peter Tutt is on the other side of this, where he's like, these transactions are going to happen, going to get to miners regardless of whether Bitcoin people are running Bitcoin knots and relaying these transactions. So what we should do is actually make, and these transactions are giving fees to Bitcoin miners, which is good for Bitcoin security. So we should actually just let it happen. Stop mm-hmm. spending resources on fighting it. It's going to happen anyway. So all those resources won't be well spent if we attempt to stop it. And it's gotten to the point where there are these kind of debates about what things meant in the history, like in the past of Bitcoin. And this is like one of those finer points where Peter Tutt sees that Luke is wrong about what data carrier meant.
Did Luke just misremember maybe, or?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's lots of reasons why people are wrong. Luke doesn't strike me. I mean, I also have a hard time viewing most people as bad intention, but Luke doesn't strike me as being a liar.
Well, he's Catholic. He's not going to lie on purpose.
Well, Catholics lie. They do. I mean,
they also go to confession too, so.
Yeah, which
and repent.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they don't lie. So he could be going to confession every week for lies he's saying. But I,
well, if he sees this, he'll probably repent. I'm sure.
Okay. I just it's a joke. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. But anyway, people
so lighthearted.
People lie whether they're religious or not, and so my general sense is that Luke isn't a liar.
No, he's not a liar.
Because he's kind of beats the same.
Cares about Bitcoin. I think everybody cares about Bitcoin.
Yeah, and
these two guys care about Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think either is lying. They might be making mistakes and they might be wrong, but they're not. I don't think they're lying. So that's kind of where I sit on whether people are lying or not. But it does appear like Luke is wrong on this very specific point that is, you know, as far as I can tell, like not relevant to whether a person should be running Bitcoin knots or Bitcoin Core. It's kind of like, what is Satoshi's vision? And we should just be following Satoshi's vision. It's like I don't think the history should be determining what we do in the present moment.
What was the top comment? Top comment was from Scoresby. Thanks for posting this. I appreciate the clarity. And then he talked about Taproot. Anything in the comments that you think is worth mentioning or bringing up?
Nothing in particular. There are people that disagree pretty seriously with Peter, or just, you know, any disparaging comments made about knots, or one way in the spam debate gets kind of unhinged sort of takes, or ill-informed takes at least.
So they're just hating on Peter, basically.
I think there was some like, yeah, cry harder, scammer. We resist your psyop. It didn't address any of the kind of points made directly.
Oh, okay. Has Luke ever been on Stacker News? Or he's just mostly just on Twitter, right?
He has been on Stacker News. Oh, okay. Before. Yeah.
Okay. So he does come on there every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We were his Nostr's app address for a while.
Oh, cool. So yeah. Maybe Luke will come back and talk about this?
I don't think so. I think the venue for this debate seems to be primarily X at this point. So okay. It's kind of where everyone already is.
Cool. That's all the top stories this week on Stacker News Live. Very, very all over the place week, I would say, as far as the top stories. Got me and Keon heated.
I
me heated on one of them and got you confused on some of them.
Most of them.
So we're all over the place this week. We're going to jump into the rest of the stuff. I want to bring up a new segment. It's called AI Bitcoin. This is from Optimism. Every week he does a This Week in Bitcoin, or I'm sorry, This Week in AI. This one's this week. It's called The Gloom of the Vibe. And he referenced KR's posts are the men who know the most gloomy. Did you see this post?
Yes, I did see that post.
He said, in 1955, Einstein and a dozen scientists wrote to Congress about the danger of nuclear weapons, saying the men who know the most are the most gloomy. And KR asked, how do the men who know the most about today's most commonly cited danger, AI, feel? Optimus at the top comment. Most likely because I agree with the message. It tries to convey a cautious approach, highlighting vulnerability, not in software written, but in the marketing approach, a vision carried out by the leaders. I think the real danger is that people actually listen to Sam Altman. Thus far, he seems to be winning, which is worrisome. You get worried about Sam Altman, don't you, Keon?
No,
I don't get worried about the guy, to be honest. It doesn't strike me as somebody. There's a book that's coming out about him. It's a very like salacious book, but it's a very negative book about him, but looking forward to reading that. I don't really get a bad vibe about him.
Oh, I think he's definitely ambitious to the point where he probably doesn't care too much about people and cares more about fulfilling his ambitions. So I have that feeling about him, but I don't like have any other feelings about him.
Yeah. He had a couple of, some CEOs go all in on the vibe. Coinbase CEO explains why he fired engineers who didn't try AI immediately. This was another one. I don't know if you saw this post. This was kind of funny. Brian Armstrong apparently fired some people. This was hilarious.
Yeah, I think I read that, but I actually don't remember. I must have read it a while ago.
There's a lot of really good posts here. Check it out, Stackers This Week in AI on Stacker News. Yeah, I don't think there's another. I keep saying this every week, but I don't think there's another Bitcoin AI weekly newsletter. But the one on Stacker News is definitely worth subscribing to. So all you got to do is do this, and then you hit subscribe. Right? Is that all you got to do? Is that how that works?
What are you trying to subscribe to?
This Week in AI.
Oh, you can't subscribe to This Week in AI specifically. You could subscribe to Optimism.
Oh, so you just got to go here, Optimism.
Yeah.
And then you go here.
Yeah, and then you subscribe to his posts.
Boss. There you go.
Central.
Boom. That's all you do, Stackers. The next one I wanted to bring up was this one. This other AI Bitcoin post was funny. This was also from KR. He had prove you're not AI. You have 1 minute to leave a comment that proves you're a human and not an AI robot. Go. And then he had all the stackers do it. This was hilarious. I thought this was hilarious. Yeah. He made one stacker made this, which was basically Stacker News. And I think it won.
Yeah, handwritten.
Handwritten.
Which an AI does not have hands, as far as I know, yet.
So not yet.
Pretty convincing.
Yeah. And then what was another one that I saw? I'm not a robot. That was a captcha. This one was sort of funny. What's this one? Pencil. Ask. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, a lot of people ended up just like kind of cursing and saying profanities to prove they're not, at least not a woke AI.
Yeah. How would you prove you're not an AI, Keon?
I don't know. I don't think you can through a digital medium, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't even hold your thing anymore, right? Like, and do that.
Yeah, you can't do it. A picture doesn't work.
Can't even do that.
Yeah, it's not really sufficient.
Man, we might even not even be real right now at this point.
It's true. This might be a Google banana.
This we could just be.
What is it called? Banana.
I mean, we could just be AI.
Something.
We could literally could just be figments of.
The photography thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why couldn't AIs have cryptographic keys? And that would require the other humans to know what my valid cryptographic keys are, which are somehow I've gotten those to them in person, probably. Otherwise, I could have transmitted to them digitally, which I could have just been. It's the same problem again. It can produce a script that can generate a key. So it can, I don't think it even requires a hallucination. Yeah, I don't get the idea. I think it's the idea that somehow cryptographic keys solve the like Sybil problem of online identity and online personhood. I think it's just like, it's sort of like pushing off the issue. It's like, yeah, there's the issue where you can't prove yourself, but we have this other thing. And then we'll ignore all the issues with that and how I think can subvert that. So it's the solution.
So I gotta, you know, so the only thing that actually proves, you know, damn, I hate saying this because it sucks. So the only thing that actually proves that you're human is your eye.
Why?
So your eye, your actual eyeball.
Yeah.
Has, there's a podcast. I'll share it in the show notes if I find the thing. There's a podcast that talks about how the eyeball is the only thing that's actually that is unique, more so than a fingerprint, that each human has. I'll share the podcast where it talks about this. Anyway, long story short, that's why it's scary that the whole WorldCoin thing is doing that thing with the eyeball. And that's why in Blade Runner, Philip K. Dick did the eyeball thing, the eyeball scanner.
Well, they are unique, but I don't see why an AI couldn't make another unique eyeball. Like, I don't.
Because it's a God thing. That's why you can't reproduce an eyeball like that.
Okay. So you think the eye can only come from God? Like, God.
It's literally from like a woman. It takes DNA. It actually takes, like, I'll share the podcast where he talks about it.
Okay. So you think they're.
It's not reproducible. Yeah, it's not reproducible outside of the womb.
Okay. I don't know. I don't think that's true.
It's serious. I'm serious. Like, unless the guy's lying, but he's like a doctor who like is specialized in like and all this stuff.
I don't know. I feel like if you get an atom for atom printer, like that, I feel like I could just print an arbitrary eye. I just don't see why. I don't get why it's as far as it's a physical thing. And I get
Tower of Babel, bro. That's all I'm saying.
What does that mean?
Exactly. All right. So,
okay. Well,
that's what I'm saying. I'll share the podcast so you can listen to it.
I'm not going to listen to it.
You're so upset.
I'm not upset. I just hate where everything becomes like, I'm going to give you homework and then you'll get it.
Well, I don't know how to explain it because I'm not the genius. I don't know how to explain it, but there's a podcast that explains it better than I could.
Okay, well, that's cool. It's not sufficient for me to agree with you.
You don't have to agree with me. I'm just telling you. For the stackers at home that want to listen, I'll share it later.
Share it with them. They'll pay my
attention. Yeah, then maybe somebody will write up. Kefford's listening to this right now. Kefford, you would love this, and maybe you can share a post on Stacker News. That way Keon can read it.
I just feel like that's not part. I feel like that's not God's like direct handiwork.
No, it is like the eyeball. Literally, that's why, dude. That's why the WorldCoin is so like, really like, you know, it's the other side doing it. It's like, it's all over. It's so weird. That's why you know it's the other side doing it. It's like they know exactly what to go for. It's really scary. Anyway, that's AI Bitcoin this week. We're also going to be doing another segment. It's called a Wumble Pick. We didn't have time to do it this week, Wumble, because Keon didn't have time to read it, but next week he will.
Yeah, if I'm expected to kind of talk about something, I kind of want to know what I'm going to talk about before, so I don't have to be like, hey, I'm going to send you guys a podcast after this podcast. You guys can learn. I'm just kidding. But
Keon's happy to do it. We just have to get it to him on Thursday. So
we're going to try to do like a more one little short educational segment based on a Stacker News post is the idea.
Yeah. So Wumble's going to pick one every week and then Keon will talk about it. And we'll learn. And then I just wanted to share this one. This was my post this week, was early day. So I recorded with with Joe from Unchained. And I don't know if you saw this episode, but from the people that did see it, they say they really enjoyed it.
Hello, Joe. So, welcome to Early Days.
I don't think Joe does a lot of podcasts, right?
I think he does, but I think he only does them with like CNBC and like bigger.
Oh, I see.
With like bigger people. So the fact that he came over here and did it, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's big, dude. He's like big.
Big star.
It's like big star.
Yeah.
Anyways, so you got to check it out, Stackers. The other one is Keon's. Your post was this one, Relay Sunsets Lightning Network Integration.
Yeah, I thought this was, I thought this was kind of big news. Basically, Relay is kind of like the bull Bitcoin, I believe, of like Switzerland. Perhaps like broader Europe. I'm not exactly sure because I don't live there. But they're kind of like a bull Bitcoin in the sense that they are a non-custodial exchange. That is, you buy Bitcoin from them using fiat, and they send it directly to cold storage or some wallet that is in your own control. And I guess their phone app had on it the ability, I think, to withdraw via Lightning, and also had the ability to send out any self-custody Bitcoin that was on your phone app via Lightning. And they said that just people weren't using it and they were having a lot of issues with it. The implementation, like they didn't want to have to spend more time managing the implementation. And given how little adoption there was on the part of their customers, they decided to stop supporting it. And so I think in this fee environment where blocks are like sort of empty and fees are below one sat per V-byte now, it kind of makes sense.
It's interesting, you know, like, we were just talking about Startup Day Yucatan and Meridia, and it's like all the grassroots plebs that are using Lightning. And then we're seeing like this higher echelon group of people that are looking up, you know, I'm not pointing them out or anything, but like these higher echelon people are just like buying Bitcoin, or they're buying it through securities or ETFs and stuff. But it's like all these grassroots level people are still using Lightning. So I think there is this kind of gap that we're seeing. So
I think it's a matter of the amount of Bitcoin you have. And so if you're using an exchange, you're probably not buying 100 sats worth of Bitcoin at a time. You're probably buying, you know, significant volume of Bitcoin. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense maybe to use Lightning for that use case. So I don't really see this as like a sign that there's something bad going on with Lightning so much as like, you know, maybe Lightning on an exchange doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially this type of exchange. If it's more like an exchange like Coinbase, where you're letting Coinbase custody the Bitcoin for you, maybe you want to send off 100, 1,000, 5,000 sats at a time. And the fee, you know, having a low fee for that makes a lot of sense. But if you were like, you know, DCAing your life savings, you know, I don't really know why you're trying to save 10 sats at a time. Probably, you know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but yeah.
Yeah. It's, I guess RoboSats is the only Lightning exchange out there, right? That's non-KYC.
Yeah. There are very few non-KYC exchanges, but there are a few peer-to-peer non-KYC exchanges. There, one of them is Peach, I believe.
Oh yeah. Peach.
Yeah. Peach. Of course, RoboSats is Lightning native. I think they only do Lightning, and they're like federated and anonymous and stuff. I think Peach might have reputations. There's also, I think, Vexel in, I believe, the Czech Republic, or at least based in the Czech Republic. They're also a peer-to-peer exchange. I know there's one that operated in Brazil, run by Ray Youssef.
Oh yeah,
I forget.
How did his project ever turn out?
That was, I think, a shitcoin exchange, like peer-to-peer shitcoin stuff. But I think it was still.
Did he write like a white paper or something? Whatever happened with that?
I think they were planning to do a decentralized exchange, where they had written up a pretty complicated protocol, and I don't know what state that's in. I know they had some good hackers working on it, but those things are very tricky to get working right. So
yeah. Yeah, interesting.
I think you might also be able to do Lightning now on BISC. Maybe even join market. I'm not sure though.
Yeah, you said it reminds you of folks sunsetting on-chain payments over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I was talking to an OG and he said that like this happened to Bitcoin where like people went away from it for a little while and then they came back to it. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing like that's happening to Lightning. People go away from it and then they'll come back to it. You just got to be there when they do.
Yeah.
And keep building in the meantime.
Yeah. People who are like, this is like a hobby for them, or, you know, like Lightning was like a hobby for a on-chain Bitcoin company. Yeah. It makes sense for them to ditch it. Just like the payment processors who integrated Bitcoin or the merchants who integrated Bitcoin in some like bull run eventually got tired of their hobby and removed it. I don't know if Overstock.com still has Bitcoin.
I think Microsoft and like AT&T did it too at certain points.
I remember Stripe had Bitcoin support very briefly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's a very like thing to do.
So it's like becomes fashionable and then it's not fashionable. And you know who the like posers, but you like know people who maybe didn't really get a lot of value from it
Cool. We're going to jump into Meta real quick. We have Stacker News Monthly. What's this, Keon?
Yeah, so Simple Stacker is going to take a close look at Stacker News activity, specifically, I think, around posts, but maybe they plan to expand out otherwise. But they're going to take a close look at Stacker News activity for each month and then do their data science-y things. So they pull out some really interesting stats here. Like, I think in the month of July, Stackers earned on average, nearly 2 sats per word that was written on Stacker News, which is like kind of a cool stat that I wasn't aware of. They're looking at all the data and kind of pulling out, I don't know, insights from it. Like for here, he has the top stackers by the number of items posted, and I guess undisciplined is at the top there. And he also,
they even have their favorite word.
Yes, that's their favorite word, the word they're using the most. But like blockchain boo is using construction the most.
What does he use the word construction?
Well, because they run the construction engineering.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I was like, when does blockchain boo say construction?
Yeah, they have an interesting construction. And Gray Ruby, I guess, says game a lot because they're Stacker Sports territory founder. A lot of stackers use the word stacker a lot. Econ is I guess each territory. We also have the favorite word.
I would like to find out when the first time the word stacker was used on Stacker News. See if you can find that out. That would be cool.
Oh, it's probably back in 2021.
Yeah, I would like to find out like who was the person that called somebody a stacker, like on Stacker
News. Oh, that was intentional by me.
But I'm saying like when was the first post like where somebody was like, oh hey, what's up, stacker? Or like he's a stacker, like on Stacker News.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that might be different. But I created like a Telegram chat very early for like customer support. And that was called Stackers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wonder when it was used. Maybe it was your first post where you said you're a stacker.
No, definitely not. It required like conscious effort for me to even start call like giving something a name. It's kind of hard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wonder where that term came from and like who used it first. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah,
that's cool. Top territories: Bitcoin, Stacker Sports, Econ, AI. AI has been taking off really well.
It gets a lot of posting.
Yeah, I post in there all the time.
It's just like one of the most active things going on in the world right now.
Yeah, it's a good territory. I'm glad that he picked it back up. I don't know who had it first. I don't remember.
I think it was David W.
Oh. Builder. So, like, remember I told you I optimized it? It works. I optimized it down on the posting. I like where it's at now. I like the posting, the post amount now. So I feel like putting it to 500 sets, the place it should be in. So I think that definitely worked. It's just enough where it's like, if you're going to post, you're going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Dr. Orlov from RGB, the RGB protocol, they created an RGB territory for a while, and they made their posting costs like 10,000 sats because they didn't want anyone to post in it. Or maybe they've made it 100,000 sats. I don't know. But it was pricey. But it was effective at.
Well, we've been posting it on our Twitter. So I think that's been helping drive traffic there too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been helping too as well. So anytime somebody posts in the builder's territory, we'll also share it on Twitter. And then that'll drive traffic there.
Yeah.
And zaps and then comments. So we've been doing that every time I see like a new builder's post. That's it. You know, that's a legit one, not just like a scammy one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll post it on Twitter if I get a chance.
Cool.
So I think that's been helping. What else? Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Awesome. I thought really cool stuff you can do with data now.
The next one is multi-step wallet form. What's this?
Yeah. So our wallet forms before, if you were like attaching Albi Hub or whatever to Stacker News to use as your non-custodial wallet, you would have to like kind of tab through your send setting and then your receive setting. So this is like kind of what you're more familiar with, where it like sort of handholds you through setting up one thing. So it's like that.
Sooks.
That was from EK. So Sox did the ability to disable live comments so that if you find them distracting, like comments coming onto your page while you're maybe reading or writing. I think this is more for someone like, well, specifically requested by Optimism, who said they sometimes will keep a, they'll be writing a long comment, doing lots of research.
That makes sense for him, yeah.
And then it'll want to get.
Yeah, because he writes those really long posts. I could see that. I find them very like especially at night, because I like browsing Stacker News at night.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm here in the lab and I'm like writing something or whatever, and then I'll see it pop up. It's like super cool. It's like, oh, hell yeah. Like I can talk to somebody.
Yeah, it can be. It's a little dopamine rush.
It's very cool at night. Like, good job, Sox. Because at night, it's like that's when it's like the best. Because you're not expecting anybody.
Yeah, you feel kind of alone, and then you're like, oh, I'm not.
Yeah, you feel kind of lurkish a little bit, but then you're like, oh, I'm not alone. Somebody's still up. And then if it's somebody you like, you're like, oh, cool. Then you start talking to them at night.
If it's someone you don't like.
I haven't ran into that problem yet.
All right.
Yeah, Stacker News doesn't really, the late night Stacker News is not really popping, but when it is popping, it's good.
Occasionally. Yeah. Okay, so that was one thing. The other thing was Simple Stacker added table of contents markdown.
Cool.
Just kind of a niche thing.
Fixed the inability of set a cursor limit.
Yeah.
Added support for GitHub code spaces. When are you, what else? When are you adding some cool stuff?
Cool stuff should be back. I'm hoping we can do some experimental stuff in September.
What's coming? Give us a taste.
No tastes for you, sir.
What are you?
One of them is going to be a private beta. And then the other one, which probably won't release until the end of the year. The other stuff should be more some of the territory stuff that we've talked about.
Ooh, maybe you should come to the Yucatan and do some territory announcements.
No. I won't do any announcements. If I go to the Yucatan, I'm there to lie on the beach, you know, party. I'm there to party. I'm going to
okay, so, so
Startup come, Day Cancun. So you guys might be to Startup Day.
So come to Startup Day Yucatan and then party with Muzz. There you go.
Does Muzz know how to party though?
Yeah, he knows how to party, dude.
All right.
Yeah, cool. And then we got, what else we got here? Oh, we got some comments here. Simple Stacker said, highlighting YouTube comments is cool. I wonder if there are any people who watch us now on YouTube, other platforms, but aren't active on us. And probably. Undisciplined said, I'd wager most of those bots are not on Stacker News. Cool. What else we got? Blood Poet, we got a new zine this week. It's called the Sovereignty Zine, Keon. Oh, I barely saw the SNZ on there. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, looks like a good, I like the topic. I like sovereignty as a topic.
Nice. You're either moving towards sovereignty or moving away from it.
Check it out. You can read the web version or just at cost.
Hardcore.
With free shipping, you can get the
there you go.
The print version.
Oh wow, what did you make these things? Oh, I love this. Oh man, this is so pleb poet. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, you can read the web version or you can purchase the print. Check it out, Snackers. Let me zap. There you go. The next one is, what do we got? The next one is Fountain Boost. So Fountain Boost from last week's episode. Undisciplined said economists give money far less thought than you could comprehend. What do you think about that, Keon?
Yeah, I mean, it seems that way, but I'm surprised that it is that way. I would think that it's one of the main things that they think about. I feel like there's like, it's like the pillar. It's my pillar, but maybe I just because I'm a Bitcoin person and I think about money a lot.
It kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, strong dollar, strong boomer. Blockchain Boog, zap. And then Great Ruby, thank you for the zaps. We had some YouTube comments. This one was from Lucas. He said, hi guys, regarding your comment on this government being a baby steps kind of guy, let me tell you that he does not hold a majority on the Senate, and the way government works here, this means he has his hands tied. Regarding on what he can do, he initially proposed a big package of reforms that the Senate rejected and had to be watered down a lot in order to get some of it approved. I think he is also tippy-toeing around the issue since we have legislative elections on October, which allowed him more leeway if he wins. Great video. Greetings from Argentina.
Oh, thanks so much.
There you go. We got some insight. So, yeah, I guess we don't know what we're talking about, so we need to shut up.
We definitely don't. I definitely don't know what's going on in Argentina, but it's
neither
cool.
Do I.
Cool to hear.
There you go. Thanks for the insight, Lucas, from the ground. I guess we need to keep our mouths shut. Hey, you learn every day. Next one was from Merogo, whatever. He says, we all get BTC at the price we deserve. Still respect anyone who admits they're wrong. They're still very early in the global adoption cycle. 1 million by 2029 seems very likely. This was from the Kenneth Rogoff one. I don't remember that one. That was the Harvard one, the guy who went back. So, you got any thoughts on that, Keon?
Yeah, I don't think he admitted he was wrong in like a humble way. So, I don't think there's any respect to be dealt to him for admitting he was wrong.
Did you hear about that UFO guy from Harvard? The same guy who predicted the remember that little the asteroid or whatever? There was like some asteroid that was flying through the solar system. Did you hear about that, Ted?
Yeah, it's like a Hawaiian.
And now there's another UFO that's like coming through the... Did you hear about that? Can you come talk about it? I can't talk about it. Okay, Ted's going to come tell us about UFO thing.
I have a friend who I know from my space lab days. The two of us would work side by side. Mm-hmm. And he is convinced it's a UFO. He doesn't see any other plausible explanation as to why that Okinawa or...
Yeah, this guy right here. There's like
the one that's flying through our solar system.
Well, he was the same. It's also a Harvard guy.
Is it similar?
This thing right here. This thing right here.
Is it a comet?
Yeah. So there's something that's flying. But I think this is it. That's our flying through our solar
system. No, I think it's a video. There it goes, right there. So apparently, there's a Harvard guy who was wrong about Bitcoin. And then there's a Harvard guy who is like predicting this like Okinawa thing. And then there's another Harvard guy who's telling there's a alien spacecraft at the edge of our solar system.
It's the same guy.
Oh, it's the same guy with the prediction?
Not the Bitcoin prediction.
Can you scroll down just a little bit? I'm just curious what NASA says.
What is NASA saying?
It's fast.
Yeah, that's kind of what they... And I think it accelerated was why they...
Last one accelerated in the wrong direction.
Well, it's because you're looking at VR.
Was it towards the sun or
why is he looking
accelerated away?
Oh, there
from
it
the
goes
sun,
right there.
I think was the issue.
There it goes, so Ted. It's acting there like it a goes right
sail.
There.
Well, my friend thinks is it's a solar sail.
What does that mean?
It's basically just a sail, like a large flat object.
You use it, light pushes it. Yeah. That's basically what it means. Like wind pushes a sail of a boat. Light from the sun.
Can you speak English, please?
Pushes it.
It's a large piece of paper, like a flat piece of paper.
Okay.
And that is clearly not a natural object that would form something like that. We don't know of any sort of way that, for example,
that's what you're saying. That right there, that Ted Williams tunnel. Oh, crap. It's the size of Manhattan.
Oh, I guess we're just doing size comparison. I mean, this is, I think we didn't know the other one was weird until it started accelerating out of the solar system. Because I think it was maybe accelerating in, which is what you'd expect as it's going closer to the sun. But then the fact that it started accelerating out was the question mark. We did know that it was an interstellar object. So it's coming from outside the solar system. But that could come from the Kuiper Belt or other, you know, things that are very deep
space. That guy right there. That's the guy who predicted Bitcoin's price wrong?
No.
But I also wouldn't give too much credence in terms of like their ability to predict Bitcoin versus their...
So you're saying they're not the same. So you're saying that's two different things.
Two different things. Like, but I mean, there's maybe something to be...
Because Harvard's it's still a reputable place, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I would look at like more of the JPL guys or John Hopkins or University of Colorado.
Has Elon talked about this or the StarTalk guy?
I'm sure Elon's got the best info on things like this.
But what did he say?
It's just like we are limited in our like ability to observe it because all we're looking at is the light bouncing off of it. So we're kind of getting like a 2D snapshot of this thing. And we like to think that, we just have all the best sensors and we do, but it's still just like a really pixelated photograph that we're getting, just a few pixels on this stuff. It's dark. It's a dark blob of rock, not much reflectiveness unless there's a lot of water composition in there. There's no sort of gravitational distortion that we can see with a small object. So we're kind of just relying on the light that bounces off of it.
Yeah, I don't know what to think, honestly.
Yeah, and that's all of that science is pretty young as far as I understand.
Supposed to
hit us. Yeah, so there's like
also don't trust this guy, dude. I mean, Spidey sense. Spidey sense. I'll go on all over the place here. Do not trust that guy.
Like a happy dude.
I'm sure he has a family. I'm sure he's great, but pleb Spidey sense going off. Do not trust him.
I definitely do not trust astrophysicists.
I mean, look at him. He kind of looks like the same guy who gave us COVID. Remember? What's that guy's name?
Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, he looks like Fauci. Do not trust anything.
I mean, I think he's just roughly his image and his clean, wearing a suit and maybe has similar glasses.
No, you want bearded. If you're a physicist and you don't have a beard, like you're kind of a junior physicist, you got it. Once you get a big white kind of unkept beard, and generally like they don't like to be on TV, and when they do, they don't make any sense and they kind of scare the journalists.
I'm not trusting anything this guy's telling me. So this is the guy that brought us this.
He's probably the other guy's like. He's the guy who's like presentable, but Harvard's like not, I mean, they probably have great astrophysicists, but they're maybe not the best in terms of experimental physics or like telescope people. So like you kind of want a combination of the telescope people and the.
Isn't it Princeton that has the better theoretical physics department?
Princeton was where Einstein worked, I believe, either Princeton or Cornell. But
this isn't that's not astrophysics, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, my old university, University of Colorado, they had the most astronauts coming out of it. Oh. But maybe not the best. Like, I mean, you basically want JPL. And like it divides based on discipline. So within space, there's many different areas, and astrophysics is one area. And then that divides. Like, do you care more about planets? Do you care more about thinking about dark energy, in which case you're more of just like a mathematician kind of person?
Yeah.
And there's I've been in some amazing heated debates between theoretical physicists and experimental physicists, and they just like tear each other to shreds, but they're both very founded in like being rational and logical. And they're also extremely intelligent.
Yeah.
But man, they get into,
So he's saying the market will crash. The markets will crash if it proves to be true. Oh man, this feels like a setup.
What evidence do they know of this being a pro?
That's what I'm saying. Like, this just feels long like flat, this feels like a Fauci thing already. Like, this just, I'm sorry, my pleb Spidey sense is going off right now. I just can't trust it.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to fly very close to Venus, I think, in October.
In October?
Yeah, here it is. That's a trajectory of it. I don't know if that's, obviously, all of those things will be moving. And so I think the Earth will be on the other side of the sun when it passes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, where we could view it.
Damn it.
Is the other thing.
Have you seen this comet thing, Topher?
Yeah, we might have something.
Have you seen this
We got another UFO.
Have you seen this UFO thing?
Another one?
Yeah.
He said another one.
The second one.
He said another one?
Yeah.
Wait, have you not heard about this?
When's it get here?
In October.
Well, it's not...
October, just in time to pick me up.
Yeah.
No, but it's going to Venus, though. It's not coming
to... It's coming to startup, Jay.
Someone ordered for the wrong hookup location. Dropped the pin on the wrong planet. Fucking...
Anyways.
Although you got to say, like, if they are aliens and they're all coming from the same place, like, and you're looking at the solar system, like, it could be Venus, could be Mars, could be Earth. Like, Venus and Earth, like, there's both atmospheres. So if they're able to see atmospheres, I could see why an alien civilization would send a probe to each planet.
They wouldn't do like a fake invasion, you think? They wouldn't do a fake invasion.
Well, maybe it's just a probe. They're just trying to, you know, get.
I think Ted and I are more on the side of aliens, and you're more on the side the government is doing a psyop.
I don't think it would be the government. That's the thing. I don't think it would be the government.
What do you think? You think the aliens are doing a psyop?
No, I think it would. I actually think. No, you guys think it would be the government. I don't think it would be the government. I think it would be like deep state.
Oh, well, I think those. I
think it would. I think it would be a well coordinated, like, multinational, like, group effort around the world. The
deep
the same people that brought you COVID. It would be like those people.
Oh, I see. Yeah, but I think I'm more in the camp of, I prefer thinking about this actually being aliens like that.
Oh, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I wish.
Do you think they have eyes?
Oh no, if they did they probably would. It would be like a, it wouldn't be like an actual entity. It would be like a, you know, they would be like a robots or something.
Drones, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
a right. I mean, what would you think it would be?
I'm just like so heartbroken we didn't get more pictures of that first UFO. Like, I really hope we get something out there for the second one. But
because it's just like the nearest star is what, Alpha Centauri? It's like 20 light years away, right?
2.7.
Yeah. So, like, that's where it would come from. It wouldn't.
No, I mean, this could be, you know, it could be ancient. I watch a lot of like Star Trek and stuff. It could be, this could be like something that's been floating around the galaxy, or the, what do we call it, the universe, for billions of years, even. It could be a very early alien species that sent out a probe that's just gathering data.
Or maybe it was
like archiving.
Maybe it was our old, maybe it was like Mars, and that sent it out like before we were.
Yeah, exactly.
It could have been us.
They would have had to aim it though. Like, if it is coming from an intelligence, like, the odds of just hitting a solar system.
Yeah, but
unless they send out a bajillion.
What if it has like some kind of intelligent, like machine intelligent sort of like self-direction?
But it's so hard to self-direct. Like the scales are so large, right? That like if you're just flying through deep space, like, you want to slingshot your way to places. I mean, maybe they've got special technology.
Did you ever see the movie Sphere? Did you ever see the movie Sphere?
Making it to us, they obviously.
This is where I'm glad I watched so many movies.
Solar sail.
Did you ever see the movie Sphere?
Domain of guessing.
Yeah, the movie Sphere.
I see.
So in the movie Sphere, yeah. they basically sent them.
It's like antimatter.
It was basically us that sent our own spaceship back around to us. Yeah.
Two conversations going on.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
God, I hope it's UFOs. It's probably not.
I don't think we'll see. I don't know, but this guy looks like Fauci. I mean,
it's still fucking weird that last one was accelerating. Like, we don't have an answer to that. And that's like very annoying. It's very like in your face too, where it's like,
what, so this close. One the other one, the
other one,
Amaralis,
it was just like, all they have is like Doppler shift, right?
The Omanoa,
like, basically
that one right there.
I think we're pretty confident that it was this accelerating one. I assume it's Doppler shift, but that seems like a pretty,
so this one just flew away, we never got to see it, is what you're saying?
No, we saw it, but we just only saw so much. We only gathered so much information. So if there could be some other cause of the Doppler shift, like it's emitting light behind it that makes us think it's accelerating, but it's actually just kicked on the afterburner or something.
Yeah.
Or who knows?
Oh,
I didn't realize that one even came that close.
Yeah, it came real close and then just booked it out of there. And also, we're not even...
Oh, there it goes. Sure, that was the
shape. That's the thing. Like,
that was what it did.
There's an argument.
Yeah, dude. Look at that.
It's like, yo, see you later, Earth.
People argue if
it's cool,
cylindrical, or if it's a flat piece of paper. But the argument against it being a,
it looks like it picks some. It looks like it picks somebody up, bro. It's like, give me a freak off of Earth.
Yeah, it's
Like that's what it literally did. It literally picked somebody up.
Do we know who disappeared?
It's like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Here right now. So
it's like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It went like this. It's like
if he reappears right when the next one comes, then we'll know.
It looks like it totally picked somebody up. It's like get me off of Earth.
Oh, it comes back is what you're saying. Like maybe it's the same object. Yeah.
Maybe it's like maybe this other one's picking the rest of those people up too.
Dropping them off at school and coming and picking them up.
It's like see you later.
Yeah, one of the reasons I'm so excited about Starship is that we'll be able to put these large telescopes behind the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's clearly intentional.
Yeah, this is picking somebody up.
There are probably other things that do that. And so like on the background of that.
That was the first. That's the first.
No, like they see that. This is them exiting off of Earth.
From
interstellar that's a slingshot.
Okay. Well,
but we've only been looking for like 100 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's what that looked like? Oh.
Well, so that's the debate.
It's a grain. It's like a rice grain.
Yeah, so we don't actually know.
Uncle Ben's.
There's an argument that that's actually flat. And we're just looking at it at an angle. And so it looks like it's a cylinder. That's the argument of my friend. And then, of course, these renders are based. If you actually look at the source data, it's like.
Yeah, they're.
You cannot distill this much.
I mean,
it's just like what it would look like if it was a reasonable asteroid.
I mean, honestly, like it kind of looks like the what is it? The Cash App wallet.
Oh, it's a BitKey.
The BitKey.
What?
It looks more like a ledger to me.
No, but I'm saying like, I feel like the more technology gets like advanced, it's going to start looking more like just like rocks and like,
that's like that,
like pebbles and stuff.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like that stone that appeared. With the monkeys, that big square stone.
Yeah, the monolith. Kind of looks like the monolith, yeah.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
And we missed it.
Dude, that's what if crazy. It's like a fossilized alien dick and it's just a huge.
Yeah.
What's going on with you?
This huge.
Every world. Week it's just getting more sexual. What's going on with you, Keith?
Maybe I just, yeah.
All right, let's end the show. I think that's everything we got. We got to do the top snackers real quick. Top snackers, you want to put on your hat?
Oh, top cowboys, man.
Oh, yeah, top cowboys. Keon, top cowboys, Siggy 47, Koo, Blockchain Boo, Gray Ruby.
Lots of exciting no change.
Optimism 12.
So
OT Carter.
So unchained.
That's Nick Carter for people that are wondering. Sulks, Simple Stacker, K-Zone, Webster.
Go Cowboys.
Okay, Pleb Poet. Philippe.
I feel like Pleb Poet's moved up. I am not.
Hard Bunny. Yeah. Usual Suspects, Albi, Nerta Ninja, CLR, Dot. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good stuff. And that's all of them. I didn't even break it this week.
There you are. You were at like 90.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's been busy this week. Cool. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
Yeehaw. Probably nothing. Probably absolutely nothing. Lots of peering into a computer screen and trying to make things change on other computer screens.
Cool. Ted, what are you doing this week, Ted?
I am moving downtown tomorrow.
Shut up. Are you really?
That's my first... Actually, intentional that, place
where,
that I've
is that where you decided after all the places that you're looking at?
I looked at all these different buildings. I ended up going with North Shore over with some other Bitcoiners we know.
Wow, I
just doxed myself. That was
great. Yeah, you did. Yeah,
why did you decide? Why did you decide out of all the places? Because I know you're looking west, east, south, convenient. North.
It's convenient, nice. I'm a big sucker for windows. I got a really nice looking window.
They have great windows.
Yeah.
Okay. What side are you?
It is a bull run.
Do you have roommates or?
I'll tell you guys after the podcast.
Okay.
So you're moving. Do you need help?
I appreciate that. I don't think so, okay. But yeah.
Yeah. Let me know. I'll be here at the lab. You want me to walk over?
Break it in at some point so you can help me crack a bottle of water.
I'll be here tomorrow. So if you need help, you need me to walk over.
I appreciate it.
Helping. Yep. Cool. I'll just be working tomorrow.
Yeah.
Topher, what are you doing tomorrow? Oh, you're going to Brotilla, right?
Going to Brotilla.
Yeah, that should be fun.
It'll be floating.
Be floating with all the ladies, all the honeys.
Do you guys actually get honeys?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, yeah, like a Chad. He's like, where else are they going to go?
The honeys? They don't have anywhere to go?
No, they go with all the Bitcoiners.
Oh,
you think they're going to hang out with a bunch of...
Well, we'll be in.
Oh, be undercover. Okay, that makes sense. Anyways, that's all we got, Stackers. Have yourself a great weekend. And Keon.
Yep.